Right, hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast. It's not often that there's news big enough to warrant a special bonus edition of the show. The last time we did this, Ruben Amorim was on his way to Manchester United. And I suppose you can say, perhaps from Portugal's perspective, even bigger news on the cards. Perhaps not in the world football scene, but certainly in Portugal, the news that Jose Mourinho will be returning to Portugal to manage Benfica 25 years after he originally joined the club. He's back. It's a huge return for one of, by far, Portugal's biggest sporting exports, one of the biggest names in Portuguese football history, and a man who's had an incredible career abroad. So we had to assemble a team of Portuguese experts to help us through. Of course, we've got my co-hosts from the Long Ball Football Podcast, Kevin Fernandes and Andrew Batista, and we had to bring in the big guns for this one. So we've got Mr. Tom Kunda on the line as well. Three great commentators on the game who I'm sure will have a lot to say about this topic. Gents, I guess the best place to start is just with our immediate reactions to the news, etc. And Tom, I'll come to you first because a lot of people have said it, you know, he's the greatest Portuguese football manager of all time, one of the greatest football managers in general of all time, one of the most famous Portuguese exports there ever has been, and he's back. So it's huge news.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic for Portuguese football, I think. And you said it all there. You know, you look at his record, it's just absolutely unbelievable. If you said maybe 30 years ago, even 25 years ago, that you know, a Portuguese manager, any Portuguese manager, would win the Champions League twice, you know, win the Premier League three times, win the Italian, you know, Serie A, win La Liga, also in winning the Italian League and the Portuguese League, just having adding the Champions League to that, you know, in the Europa League. It's just absolutely phenomenal, you know, incredible success he had, which definitely makes him one of the, without a shadow of a doubt, the greatest Portuguese manager of all time and one of the greatest managers of all time. You can even argue perhaps the greatest. But yeah, and of course, we've all seen his career, how it's, you know, that absolutely sensational start to his career where he just seemed to have the Midas touch. Everything he touched went to gold. And then the second half of his career, I suppose he himself, I'm sure we'll come on to his press conference, he talked about the way people tend to split his career into two. And, you know, the second half being not nearly so successful as the first half, although he was very keen to point out in yesterday's press conference that, you know, in my unsuccessful time as a football manager, I reached two European finals. So he had to squeeze that in there, of course. So yeah, absolutely sensational news, you know, absolutely. And his press conference, I'm sure we'll get into it. It was really quite something to watch that yesterday, you know, him back in Portugal. And great news for Portuguese football. I think great news for Mourinho. I think this is a great opportunity for Mourinho himself. Is it great news for Benfica? That is the key question, isn't it? And well, you know, let's discuss it.
Absolutely. And Andrew, Tom's right to say it is great news for Portuguese football in terms of the profile and all that kind of stuff. But it is worth noting, of course, the big elephant in the room is his history in this country. And as a Portista, I'm sure you have some very mixed feelings about this because, like Tom says, on the one hand, the boost that this could give to the league is huge, but it's complicated, especially when he was someone so beloved by one team on one side of the Clásico, and now he's gone back to Benfica. It's let's say a tricky situation.
Yeah, no, I reacted like you always react as a fan first. You know, when I heard that, I thought, you know, that's the last thing I wanted to see was sort of Mourinho returning and coaching of all teams, Benfica. I'm still kind of conflicted because, you know, it's like I was saying to you guys, we have a statue of him at the Dragão. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's our greatest manager ever, the Champions League, the, you know, all of it. And for him to sort of come back and coach Benfica, who, you know, is they are our main rivals. You know, we've got a storied history sort of up against them. It does feel kind of sour, kind of it's going to stain his legacy from a Portista's perspective, I think. But for the league itself, it's great. A lot of eyeballs, you know, we'll start tuning in. Jose Mourinho is one of these figures. He's so big, he's so famous that he has a lot of people that hate him and a lot of people that love him, and they're going to watch just for both of those things. That's who he is. You know, it's like the Cristiano thing, Messi thing. This is how it is. But then also, you know, as a grown up, if I zoom out a bit, I think, you know, it's been 21 years. How long should he stay away? How long? What's the right amount? I don't know. But yeah, overall, not super happy about it. But it's going to give us a lot to talk about every week. That's for sure, because that is what he does. And even with his press conference, I mean, Tom mentioned what he said about his two CVs, et cetera, et cetera. And right after that, he said, "But I'm not important. It's not about me," in the most classic Mourinho way. And then said, you know, Benfica is important, the fans are important, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the kind of thing we're going to see from him every week.
Absolutely, and I am keen to dissect this press conference very shortly. But Kev, I will just come to you for your immediate reaction because, you know, as you said to me before we started recording, as soon as Bruno Lage was sacked, we kind of knew it was happening. But equally, it did almost come out of nowhere at the same time.
Yeah, that's it. I think a lot of people thought because of the timing of all of this happening, be it Lage leaving or Mourinho coming in, I think a lot of people thought it was a case of if it doesn't happen now, it's probably not going to happen before the elections. So as soon as Lage's exit was announced, I think a lot of people were thinking Rui Costa definitely, as Benfica president now and with the prospect of the future on the line, he needed to have a name. And boy, did he get a name, and I don't think he could have gotten a bigger one, realistically. Not in Portuguese football, when very difficult to get a bigger name known for his impact on a game who's currently still in activity. I mean, José Mourinho, Tom's already gone through the CV. He's already talked about his two CVs, but he speaks for himself. You say the name, you have the full story. Everyone knows what he's about. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how it translates. The entertainment, we've already got it, whether it be outside of his house, him moaning at CMTV, the Portuguese news source. We've had that. We've had the very entertaining press conference that we're going to get into as well. We've already had a quote that I believe I saw Benfica, they've already made scarves of
Oh,
what he
yeah.
said whilst he was still being linked to the job. It wasn't official or anything. It's like, who's the
Mine's in
manager
the
who says
post.
no to Benfica? That is maybe a tough one for Andrew, maybe a tough one for a lot of people, but hey, it's definitely good to see Mourinho with that sort of hunger to once again trying to put his point across, trying to rile up the opposition, because that's prime Mourinho when you think of it. This is a very prime Mourinho thing to do. And that's all Benfica needs at this moment. And after losing, and this in the perspective of Rui Costa, after losing a figure like Lage, who was quite vocal about supporting his president at times, and it seemed like there was a little campaign without campaigning. At least it looked like quite figurative, his sort of actions on and off the pitch, the way that he'd go to the fans and try and rally support behind the team in difficult moments, or really to try and just that whole dynamic of trying to keep a good relationship, both Rui Costa and Lage, it looked like that was quite a partnership. Mourinho coming in and doing this sort of thing, I think it helps his chances. And the impact of bringing a name so synonymous with success and everything great about Portuguese football, conquering Europe and all of that, it can't help just the intention. It can't harm Rui Costa's chances. It can't harm Mourinho at this stage in his career. And look, as much as the results weren't awful, it looked like the writing was on the wall eventually. It looked like Benfica, regardless of these two results, the results previous, as although that they were wins, they weren't convincing. So it's a 50-50 at this stage, and we're going to get more into it. But I don't think even Benfica can be too upset with this focus of, okay, we're behind at this moment in time. perhaps Sporting and Porto look like bigger favourites on the pitch, and perhaps Mourinho is the man short term to kind of balance those scales, because you don't get anyone, you'll struggle to find anyone with a better CV. So yeah, it's very interesting, and even from a Sporting fan perspective, which I'll always have, it's very interesting to go to a press conference over 20 years ago, because before Porto and Benfica, those chances to become first team manager, there was also an opportunity for him to come Sporting manager. And if it wasn't for a press conference where the reception was very bad towards Mourinho, perhaps the story would have been very different. So I think this is definitely a story that touches the hearts of Sporting, Porto, Benfica fans, and Portuguese football fans in a very certain way.
Absolutely. And I think the one thing you've all touched on there is just, we don't know what's going to happen yet, but the one thing that's guaranteed with Mourinho's arrival is just a huge explosion in news coverage and antics, which we can expect. So yeah, on this show, we're going to try and give everybody the lowdown on how we got to this stage, where Mourinho is at, what can we expect from his time at Benfica, and how it all might go. But I think a good place to start would be, Tom, as you alluded to, that press conference, because we've already had a flavour of what we can expect from Mourinho. We've come to expect these very choice quotes and his very particular attitude, shall we say. And I think that was on full flow at his presentation. So, yeah, take us through what happened there.
Yeah, well, I thought it was really interesting, his press conference. So, of course, he said all the right things. He gave those sound bites, and he kind of prepared the ground. A lot of it was classic Mourinho. But I do have to say, I did find him quite different to the Mourinho of old, or the Mourinho in his pomp, shall we say. He wasn't, I thought personally, just looking at it, he wasn't quite as self-assured and quite as self-confident as he. As I had, as I always remembered him, definitely here in Portugal, and in his early, in that phase one, let's call it, of his career, where he just, everything he did and said just seemed to be pitch perfect the whole time. And yesterday it was interesting because, first of all, he was quite emotional, which is quite interesting. He actually said he started the press conference saying, "Yeah, this is quite an emotional moment for me, coming back. It's his homeland, of course. Lisbon is 30 kilometers, more or less, 35 kilometers from Setúbal, where he was raised, of course. And of course, that's the country which made him as a football coach. And so he's coming home. There's that you have to factor in. He'll finally be able to give all his press conferences in Portuguese instead of English. There was quite an amusing part when he said something like, "Oh, forgive me, I've lived so long abroad. I'm not quite sure how to say it in Portuguese." Then he said, "No regrets." I think they were talking to him about his time at Fenerbahce or something, and he was saying no. He said no regrets in English, so I thought it was quite amusing. But he was quite, like I say, he wasn't quite. Normally he's got, he kind of, he's so well prepared and he's such a brilliant communicator that it seems like almost before the person's the question has been addressed to him, he already is starting his answer and he knows what the answer will be. And this time there was quite a lot of hesitation. Like I say, he was quite emotional. He said, I'm a 60, it's different being a 60-year-old coach to being a 40-year-old coach. But I do think that one advantage is I'm able to control my emotions better at this age, because this is a very emotional moment for me. And it kind of loosened up a little bit as the press conference came, went on, and got a little bit more, kind of into the swing of things and the old Mourinho we know. So, it's just really fantastic to see him, and of course showed a lot of deference to Benfica as an institution, the history of Benfica, the importance of Benfica, in terms of football, but even in terms of their cultural importance as an institution in Portugal, and the size and the magnitude of the club. And so kind of, pressing all the right buttons there, you can imagine the Benfica fans just lapping that up. And also, I do actually think that one thing is, there's this obvious connection, from everything I've just said. It's the fact it's his home country. It's near the place of his birth. He's been there. That's where that's his, it's his first job as a head coach. So there's an easy connection to make. You have the feeling a little bit with Mourinho, the last few years that perhaps he hasn't had that connection with the clubs, the latest clubs he's been to. He definitely will have here. The big question is, of course, I think one thing which is often kind of people point out about Mourinho, perhaps for his lack of success or relative lack of success in the last few years, is he doesn't seem quite able to make that same connection with the players as he used to. That used to be his real strong point. We've all seen the scenes of Materazzi when he left Inter Milan, that famous scene of him just crying like a baby into his shoulders. Materazzi, who he never even, picked half the time when, or most of the time. And then you had Ertl playing at left back, didn't you? And you had just basically players would do whatever they did for him. The Porto players still, 21 years after that incredible triumph, still when they talk about Mourinho, guys like Coutinho, it comes up all the time in Portugal, of course. And they speak about him with such deference, almost like a cult figure. And he doesn't seem to be able to, elicit the same kind of feelings from his players or the same kind of, message in terms that he's the absolute boss and what I say goes, and they're kind of hanging on his every word and they buy into absolutely everything he says. Will he be able to do that with Benfica? It would have been easier, I think, if there are more Portuguese players in the squad. There are a few, of course, but a lot of Benfica's squad, especially the last few years, is foreign players who I'm not saying they're not committed to Benfica, but perhaps when he's trying to transmit this, the importance of being a Benfica player or what it means to be a Benfica player, won't be quite so easy when you're talking to someone, a Croatian or a Ukrainian or than if you were speaking to a Portuguese player, obviously. So I think that will really be one of the key aspects to whether he will be a success or not. Can he create that kind of connection with the players and get them all rowing, completely in the same direction and completely buying into his ideas, importantly, because we haven't even talked about, I'm sure we will talk about, his style of play, which is also another big factor, which some people have said is not what it used to be. Or, perhaps is a problem. And of course, Benfica will have to be an attacking team. They'll be expected to win 80% of their matches quite convincingly. And Mourinho's kind of modus operandi recently, is kind of get the lead and hold it and make sure you don't lose the lead. Will he be able to change? Change his ways a little bit that way. So, yeah, lots of questions, but it's going to be fascinating to see for sure.
Yeah, and Andrew, I think the most important thing we have to acknowledge is obviously that, as Tom alludes to from some of the answers to his questions, perhaps Jose Mourinho has changed as a person. But also, we're looking at a very different manager to the one that left Portugal. When Mourinho left Portugal, or left Porto, he left as a legend. He'd achieved so much, and he was a manager on a meteoric rise. Of course, he arrives now in Portugal in a very different place, I think it's fair to say, not just in terms of who he is, but in terms of what he's been able to achieve. So it's obviously going to be a different experience for him at Benfica now than it was at Porto. That goes without saying, but I wonder if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he left as a renegade, as a sort of trailblazer for Portuguese football. He put Portuguese managers on the map, really. And after Porto, he still continued to have incredible triumphs in Italy, in Spain, in England. But I agree with what Tom was saying. He does seem more humble, which is not something you sort of most of the time He's kind of egotistical, or maybe arrogant, if you want to say that. But he even says it in the press conferences. Like he said, "Look, I'm more altruistic now as I've gotten older. I'm less about ego." So he is coming back as a changed manager. But he had those great highs in other clubs, but he's also taken a few lumps and taken a few knocks to the head, at others at his time in Manchester United, Spurs, Roma. I mean, he hasn't played Champions League football, I think, since Spurs. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I think Spurs might be the last time he managed a Champions League game. So it's been a while, and for him to sort of be able to come back to Portugal, and he's gonna be coaching them against Chelsea, I think towards the end of the month. So it's a great result for him. He is different. I don't know how that's going to translate into this Benfica team. He also said in the press conference that he isn't going to change too much. He's just going to sort of move things around a little bit. I think he was probably saying that just to keep the starting 11 sort of confident and not, he doesn't want them to worry too much. But we know what he's like and his style. He's going to want some sort of bite and some physicality and players to sort of really show that they want to win. And I think this Benfica team, particularly the season and even towards the end of last season, they sort of lacked some of that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this new, not improved version of Mourinho, because he's far from the sort of heights of his power, but he's still one of the greatest managers ever. And if he can find that little bit of magic that made him what he was, he could do something. You never know, because this Benfica squad are good enough. They just haven't had the right guidance, and they haven't been shown the way.
Yeah, no, a very good way of putting it. And I think also a very good point that this is, in some ways, especially coming on the back of managing Fenerbahce when I think he probably was had less of a chance of, for example, winning a league title, less of a chance of qualifying for the Champions League than he will have at Benfica. In that sense, it definitely is an opportunity for him to improve his career somewhat. Kevin, I guess the only thing is that Andrew's right to point out is, we talk about him coming back as a different manager and that he hasn't been able to hit those highs that he did at the beginning of his career for quite some time. We're talking about the differences that he could make in terms of man management and his presence and all that kind of stuff. But, based on what he's done over the last few years as a club manager, what can we really expect to see him do to change things on the pitch for Benfica? Because, it's all well and good talking about needing a new leader, X, Y, and Z, but they need new ideas on the pitch as well, because that's been something that's been really lacking.
Yeah, and I think that's always going to be the problem surrounding Mourinho at this stage in his career, because I don't think anyone questions his CV, his presence, his aura, the way that he can demand respect from players, the way that just his stature will demand that respect. He will definitely be able to get his message across, but the problem has always been a couple of years down the line maintaining that presence, not having fallout with players, because he likes to get his point across, and as time goes by, and as the years roll on and things change, players change, a lot about the game of football changes, and the personalities around the game will also change. It's always been a question mark whether he's adapting with it, whether he accepts that he needs to make those tweaks, and it's not always going to be his way, or whether he's just stuck. Back in 2004, for example. And I think it's very important that he did show some sort of acknowledgement to the fact that there are two sides of him, or at least there is that perception. And that he accepts that at this stage in his career and in his life, that he has changed. He's not going to be the same person that he was at 40 years old. And that should also reflect his style and his way of being a manager for his own health, because it's such a stressful environment, but also to maintain success, because you don't maintain success by doing the same thing. You need to be slightly pragmatic. And if anything, Mourinho's downfall was being too pragmatic at times, because his style of play, or what he's been known for, is it's a far cry from the free-flowing attacking football that, despite his defense being so solid at Chelsea, they scored so many goals. And what he was able to do at Real Madrid, there was always that sort of balance between defensively, like stalwarts, but at the same time also being able to balance that with a free-flowing, very attractive attack. And as time has gone by, it looks like sometimes it's been more of a case of maximizing efficiency, but perhaps the variation and the creativity has maybe lacked at times. So I think if you're a Benfica fan at this stage, you struggle to see where Mourinho will bring a lot of difference where Lage didn't, because at least on paper, you have two managers who really define themselves as pragmatic. You see that their approach is very much setting up in a way that will minimize the opposition. Like even in this last large game against Karabag, you saw the first 30 minutes they managed to balance out and really equal out what Karabag were offering. And after is when all the issues came. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of question marks about Mourinho that we can't really answer at this moment in time, just because it's quite true that in recent clubs, whether that be Roma, even times at Spurs, Fenerbahce, he did go into it in this press conference. I did mention that he did want to play a back four, but there wasn't the conditions to do so. He didn't have the personnel, and I think perhaps it might be a case of being the opposite at Benfica. Although the back three has been his sort of pattern, the one thing that he's maintained throughout his last few clubs, in what Andrew was saying is this less fortunate stage of his career, I'm not sure that he has the conditions to even do the three centre backs, because you do have the quality in António Silva, Otamendi, Tomás Araújo. But other than that, you're lacking the depth in the squad. And one thing that Lage didn't seem to do with much prevalence was trust the youth. And if Mourinho wants to do anything of that sort, he will have to trust the likes of Gonçalo Oliveira, for example, or perhaps adapt to play like Manuel Silva. So it's going to be very interesting, because with Mourinho, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get assertive answers. You're going to get sarcastic answers. You're going to get someone who gives a little bit back to the pressers. But you never know until it happens what you're going to see inside the pitch. Because as much as he might be saying, "Oh, I wanted to play a back four," perhaps that's to justify his failure at Fenerbahce, which he was very quick to say that he doesn't regret the experience, but it didn't go well. And that's to be very nice, because I know that the Turkish like to get into the mentions of whoever isn't too kind with their clubs. And the only look, actions speak louder than words. So we're only going to see in the first game, the second, the third, the fourth, what we can expect going forward. Look, personally, if you're asking my opinion, just straight up, I don't think we're going to see too much of a difference in terms of playing style and in terms of the overall football system setup. I don't expect too much of a difference. But the one thing that you can expect is that behind the scenes at this stage, perhaps you will see that impact. And it seemed very clear just by how the Karabag game ended up unfolding. Some of the reactions on social media by the likes of Di Maria, I know he's not there anymore, but it seemed like there was a understated celebration of Lage's exit. Obviously, keeping in mind the episode in, I think it was January, that whole thing that happened in the car park, I believe it was. All of the episodes between Lage and fans clashing. I think Mourinho comes in, the presence that he offers straight away might just captivate the fans, make them believe, because as much as you do want to say that and be somewhat realistic of, look, this is a Mourinho who hasn't won a league title in a long time. His last trophy was about 3, 4 seasons ago. You will still hold on to what he was, what he still seems to be, the personality that he still put across at times in that press conference. And that's going to be what really captivates the players and really what captivates the fans. So we can speculate, And I don't think that this is enough of a drastic change that Benfica do to really reach their full potential in terms of what they do on the pitch, in terms of the quality of their play, not even results wise. But we could expect perhaps a little bit of a upturn in form immediately, a confidence boost in some players, confidence boost in the fans. And the only way to find out what he's going to really do and get into the mind of Mourinho is seeing what he puts out on the pitch.
Very true. I think in many ways, the only thing we can do is wait and see how this is going to go. But Andrew, I'm sure you have some thoughts on that same topic, actually, just on like where Mourinho is at as a manager now and what he's actually going to be able to bring to this club outside of his kind of reputation and aura, I suppose. Although let's not underestimate the impact that those things could still have.
I think we'll see a definite improvement in the short term. He knows how to, I mean, even though he's not as good at it as he used to be, he knows how to sort of galvanize his players and get his players to sort of play for him. Certainly better at it than Bruno Lage was. I will see some difference, and it might be good, it might be bad. I think it's going to be very interesting to see those first few games if he does make any big changes, because I think that'll tell us exactly what Mourinho is here to do. You know, if he looks at it and says, you know what, I'm gonna try and trust the youth in this one. I'm gonna bring a few different players in because I don't have the right sort of player that, you know, can do what I want him to do. We'll see what he does with some of the sort of quote unquote bigger stars, some of the guys that came in this season as well that have been sort of starters. If they continue, if they sort of are receptive to his style, because even though he's mellowed out, he's still a very old school kind of manager, and he will try and get his points across, you know, even aggressively if he has to. So we'll see if that has an impact. But I think this version of Mourinho, I'm not like super worried about, you know, him getting anywhere near the achievements he got at Porto. So that's the only thing that kind of, you know, reassures me a bit. But I think we'll see something, because he's still a very good manager, and this is his last big chance. Let's just say that this is his last big chance. I think that's why he grabbed it as quickly as he could, because I'm not sure he was going to get an opportunity like this at one of the big clubs in one of the big leagues. He was probably going to have to wait for some international football for the Seleção, which is what I thought he would do. So he's going to try everything he can to make this work.
Yeah, I mean, Tom, this is something I wanted to bring up with you because I think that's such an astute point that Andrew makes at the end there. I don't know if, how far you agree with this, but I still see this in some ways as a fairly high stakes move for Mourinho, only because I feel like for a manager of Mourinho's caliber to return to Portugal, if it was then to not be a success, it's quite hard to see where he would go from there and what kind of level of club he would be able to move on to if he was kind of to be seen as to having, if he was to be perceived as having in any way failed at Benfica. And so in some senses that's a, although there are lots of positives to this move for him, there is a certain element of risk I think that comes with it as well. I don't know if you see it the same way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I agree 100% with what Andrew just said there. I think it is a great chance for Mourinho, and it's not a surprise that he's grabbed it with both hands. I mean, realistically speaking, you know, he is seen somewhat, I think, as a busted flush by a lot of people. You know, perhaps myself, I'm sure Andrew, and I'm sure even Kevin, you know, anyone who loves Portuguese football still, I think we'll always have a soft spot for Mourinho, because he, you know, what he achieved, he really just did elevate the whole profile of Portuguese football so much. But realistically, I mean, do you think he could have got another job which at a club which had Champions League football? I mean, maybe one of those kind of second tier clubs in England, even they, you know, someone like Newcastle. Can't really see, you know, them going for Mourinho at this stage of his career. Is that Benfica? They're playing Champions League this season, you know. They're a very good chance of playing Champions League next season, or, you know, pretty good chance every season, depending how long he stays. Of course, he never tends to stick around anywhere for longer than a couple of seasons. But anyway, he'll be back in the Champions League. And I was just actually, and he actually said that was another interesting thing he said in the press conference was, of course, quite typical Mourinho, this one. He said one or two disparaging things actually about Fenerbahce, and he said, "Now I'm back at a club at my level. You know, I am a coach that should be at one of the biggest clubs in the world, and I am now at one of the biggest clubs in the world." So, you know, in terms of his personal motivation, and I agree with you, Albert, you know, it's kind of last chance saloon in that, you know, if this goes badly, you really have to say it's going to be very, very difficult for him to get any kind of job at this level, even, you know, and even this, you know, Benfica, although it all, we love Portuguese football fans, you know, it's not the top level of European football. And so, yeah, his, you know, in terms of his wishes, I think is a great thing for Benfica. You know, he's just going to be so motivated to make it work. And another interesting, like we all say, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. I was just having a look at their schedule, actually, which is quite interesting. You know, the next three games. So tomorrow they're playing AFS away. You guys have
Tough
covered
game,
a
tough game.
yeah, exactly. Anyone who wants to know how good AFS are, just you know, tune into the last few long ball podcast. I actually saw them last week at Estoril in the flesh. Yeah, terrible side. They really are one of the worst sides I can remember in Portuguese football. So that's almost like a given. And then it's got Rio Ave and Gil Vicente at home, you know. So although Gil Vicente, as you also spoke about in the last podcast, you know, they're looking like a good team this year. Rio Ave is still a little bit disorganized, but anyway, you'd expect those two games are at home, so you'd expect that's quite a kind of gentle little, you know, bedding in period for Mourinho, and it'd be quite difficult to imagine anything other than three victories there. And what comes next? Bang, Chelsea away, bang, Porto away, bang, Newcastle away. So,
Fantastic.
you know, it's just imagine he goes into those games on the back of three wins. If he does get good results there, you know, that would just really set him up for, you know, it could set him up and set Benfica up on a roll and to have a really good season. If you know, those games don't go well, you know, people may already start. So that last game against Newcastle, it's on the 21st, and maybe Kevin can help me out. I think it's the 25th of October is the presidential election. So of course, that's one thing we haven't even talked about this podcast, how this is all linked into the presidential election, and also the curious fact that it's very similar to the circumstances when he was first, you know, hired as Benfica coach. He was coached by, but he was hired by Vale Azevedo, and just a few weeks before the presidential election, and then he ended up, you know, he ended up actually doing quite well at Benfica. He was just starting to get the team playing well, but then because of the presidential elections, he ended up not getting the job. So, you know, we'll have to see how this plays out with Rui Costa. Of course, with Rui Costa, from his point of view, some people are looking at this as a desperate roll of the dice, you know, his last chance really to, he was behind in the polls to his nearest rival for the upcoming presidential election. So obviously, if Mourinho gets off to a solid start, and that will, you know, significantly increase his chances of remaining president. So just another little sideshow to keep our eyes on there.
Never a dull moment.
I just wanted to make a little side note that there is the potential that Mourinho is out of a job by next 25th, because there is a candidate who says that Klopp is going to be his manager. He's not entered in contact with him or anything, but he's going to be his manager. So, yeah, I think it's kind of the same as us four saying that Dua Lipa is going to be our girlfriends, but we've just not DM'd her yet. Yeah, that was my only side point.
That's a
What
very
is happening?
That's a very good
Be
point, Kev.
serious. Are you trying to get one vote even? Like, at least say you've made contact with the guy.
It's always a
No,
circus
not even
with
that.
Benfica. It's always a circus with the Benfica presidency. Always, man.
Yeah, there's another one that was saying he's going to win the Champions League like three times in the next 10 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So, look, the
Say
ambition's
whatever.
there. If the execution is there, yeah, I think we're all going to doubt that. Yeah, that was my only side point because there are quite a few candidates and some of them, like, they've given good ideas. It looks like it will be competitive, but at the same time, it can be such an entertain so entertaining just because why am I seeing a random guy that I've never seen before saying that he's going to get Jurgen Klopp as his manager? He's not even talked to him.
Yeah, I think someone probably should have mentioned to Jose that this was only a short-term appointment before the main man was brought in. But no, it's a great point that there is, well, plenty of stuff to be keeping our eyes on, both on and off the pitch, and with the arrival of Jose Mourinho, as we said at the beginning of the show. Whatever happens, whether it goes well, whether it goes badly, whether there's ups and downs, it's going to be an absolute box office situation to keep your eyes on, and I think it's a huge injection of energy to certainly to Benfica that I think has been lacking for quite some time. So, like I said, it remains to be seen how it goes. I think we're all slightly unsure whether this is going to be a great success or a spectacular failure. But whatever happens, it won't be boring. So, definitely keep your eyes peeled on how this all progresses over the next few weeks. But gents, I think if unless anybody else has any burning desire to add anything, I think we'll leave it there. I think that was a very nice summary of the situation because, of course, we have to wait for it to unfold. And it will do over the next few weeks. And we'll be here on the Long Ball Football Podcast to discuss every week, not just Jose Mourinho, but of course, all the other aspects of the league as well, as if we didn't have enough to talk about. But with that said, I think we'll leave it there, gents, and say thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you very soon.